In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, a little backtracking. We're celebrating 10 years being in Dodge Center. Imagine that. You have put up with us for the last 10 years. Praise the Lord. And that has a lot to do with what I'm talking about. This is all you know, that I've been training to run 30 plus miles. And when I go running, as you know, that I will listen to worship music, I will listen to podcasts, and I will listen to myself breathe unhealthily. You ever run and try to listen to yourself breathe? Don't do it. It's not a good sound. You sound like a, at least for me, I sound like a horse that's right about to die. It's not a good thing. And so that's one reason why I wear earphones. And two, it helps me pass the time when you're running 10 miles or 12 miles. And eventually, hopefully this week, 15 miles. Is that throughout the week? Yeah, no, it's all at once. And so several weeks ago, I was running after my the fast, the weekend when I believe Tom was here. That Saturday, that Friday night, I broke my fast. That Saturday, I went out running. And I was I figured I'd just go out for like 4 or 5 miles. I ended up going to 7 to 8 miles that day. And so I'm running, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I didn't realize it had to do anything with what I'm going to be talking about, which is quite interesting. This podcast was talking about this lady who would go around to different places and pray over different communities and see what type of spirits or... You're like, well, that's kind of interesting. No, Paul talks about spirits in Ephesians where there's hierarchy, where there's principalities and powers and darkness. And guess what? He didn't just say pray against them. Guess what he told us to do? He told us to what? Hold them down. He told us to do that. And a lot of times we're asking, hey, Jesus, can you push back the darkness? No, that's your job. Jesus, can you go save somebody? No, that's our job. Jesus, can you? No, that's what I told you to do. And so I'm running, and I'm listening to this podcast about this lady who does goes to different churches, will call her in, and hey, tell us what's going on in the spiritual realm so we know how to fight against it. And all of a sudden, she started talking about a spirit which I never heard of. I'm like, okay, because I've heard a lot of different spirits named. And a lot of times, we give spirits names so we can identify it, so we know how to deal with it. Like, if you look at it, we'll say, well, that's a Jezebelian spirit, or this type of spirit, or that type. We label them so we know how to identify them. And it's easier to deal with them. And so, with that, I'm running, and all of a sudden, this lady started talking about an octopus spirit. And I'm like, she's weird. Okay, so I listened to some of the podcasts I listened to actually forced me to think outside my comfort zone. They'll talk about demon possession. Well, that's nothing unusual for you, Pastor. It was. They'll talk about aliens, which we will talk about in the next couple weeks on a Wednesday night. What they are, what they aren't, where do they come from, and stuff like that. Because we need to be in know, because the government will push one way, or society will say one thing. We have to see what the Bible says. And that's what matters. All right? And so I'm listening to this, and all of a sudden, God goes, turn off the podcast. Okay. And I need to go back and finish listening to it because it's really interesting. Then all of a sudden he started downloading things to me about family issues, not just with my kids. Yeah, I mean, we're human. We have our own issues. Imagine that. Pastor's family has issues. Imagine that. You know? And then not just that, but extended family and different things like that. And so he started downloading. If I had a pen and paper, I would stop and wrote. But it probably been all wet from sweat, but that's besides the point. Because by then I was about third mile in. And so all of a sudden he started downloading this stuff. And so I went back and I get home and I don't, I showered, sitting there, and I was talking to Denise. I go, when I was on my run, I think this is from God, and I shared it with her because it's dealt with some of her family dynamics. And so with that, a little backtrack is that several years, less than a year ago, Jaron hurt his wrist really bad. We don't know how he hurt it, but it was all stiff. He could hardly bend it and stuff like that. So he went to the doctor. The doctor looked at it and said, yeah, just wear this brace. It'll eventually get better. Just don't use it. Well, we were over in the Manorville, the kids and I, or was it you? Okay, Jerry and I was there at least. And he took off his brace, and I think it was after a crawdad. You know? They actually have those there. And he put his hand in the water in the Manorville River, and it came hold out of his dad, my hand's healed. I was like, what? I know. We took him, and so we're like, okay. So he stopped wearing the brace and never hurt since. And last night he goes, I don't remember what wrist it was. See, we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for our healing. But did you know there's healing before Jesus died? Nahum? You guys remember Nahum? He went dunking for 7 times. He was like bobbing for apples and never got an apple, but he got clean skin. And so, joking around, I go, hey, honey, you should just go and get wet in Manorville and you'll be fine. And she's like, and this is middle of the winter. This time. And she's like, that doesn't really think of it anymore. And so, all of a sudden, with that, there's other things that came up. And I started praying, and two weeks ago from this Tuesday coming up, I went up to the office, to my office upstairs, and I was supposed to get some office work done. But you ever had stuff you had to get done, but you got sidetracked? Procrastinate? You know? And a lot of times you're like, man, I'm wasting time. And sometimes it is time wasted, but sometimes God allows other things to pop up. So I want to talk to you about that for a few moments. We will get to Moses. Don't worry about it. We'll add some scripture to this. But all this has to do with where we're at today. So I was up there on Tuesday, and I saw this notebook. And I was looking for a notebook. I couldn't find my notebook because I had some notes in it. And all of a sudden, I find this other notebook, which I haven't seen in 8 years. I didn't know I had this notebook. And I open it up and I start thumbing through it. Did you know? I want to share something. A lot of you probably don't know this. Some of you might, because I've shared this story somewhat off and on. July 1st, 10 years ago, no, 11 years ago. So July 1st, coming up, July 1st, 11 years ago. I was working at a hotel. I woke up that morning, July 1st, and God goes, you're going to be, how did I say it? I wrote it down in my journal. You will be released. Not just from your job, but from other things. July 1st, the hotel I was working at was sold at noon. I lost my job 12 o'clock noon. I was released. I had to be there at 7, so I didn't tell my wife and stuff like that. So I couldn't pre-warn her that I'm coming home early. Several days later, we were talking after church on a Sunday, and this older couple came back from what they called family camp, and they're talking about how the church was doing and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we were talking that evening, I think it was either Sunday or Monday, and all of a sudden, she goes, I think it's time to leave. Out of the blue. She didn't know. I already wrote it down. We're going to be released. So a week later, Well, I reached out to the pastor. He was on sabbatical. I go, hey, we need to talk to you. And we go, hey, we'll stick around through August, September. But we eventually left at the end of the year, December 31st. So, but after that, about mid-July, the Lord says, you will pastor in Dodge Center. I'm like, okay, I knew Pastor Pete. I'm not going to come over and kick him out. Because he's the pastor. And I'm like, okay, well, they already have a pastor, and so I'm just going to put this on the back burner. I want to send my resume out to other places. We send them to Missouri, to all over the place, Iowa, places in Minnesota. We got rejection letters. There's one place in Iowa that was we were praying about, thinking about, but we're like, no, that's not the place. And I'm like, well, I didn't know when we'd be in Dodge Center. And all of a sudden, about late August, I heard that Pastor Pete was stepping down. Well, oh, that's kind of cool. Then I believe his last day was around Labor Day of that year. Like, oh, okay, God, that's cool how you're doing that. Who? And back in my mind, I'm like, really? You know, you get excited because you're like, whoa, hey, what are you doing, God? And so through that, Pastor Pete resigned. He moved up to Alexandria area, Minnesota. And then Pastor Tyler Grant came in for the interim pastor, great guy. Wouldn't want anybody else. And so he stepped in. And he got my resume. And eventually he reached out to me. And he goes, hey, would you be willing to fill in on the last Sunday of January? Because he's going to be off with Team Challenge, not as a, just as a guest speaker. Nothing else. Sure. So we came over the last Sunday of January. I spoke. And then he goes, hey, it seemed like it went well. Would you want to come over and speak again? And then talk to a few people afterwards. And they'll take you out to eat and stuff. And so we went out to eat. And the conversation was hard to hear because it was at a restaurant. Then a couple weeks later, they go, hey, they want you to come in for a Wednesday night for just to talk. And so Denise and I came over. And it was a formal interview. And as we were leaving, Pastor Tyler said, hey, we'll get a hold of you with our next step. So we drove home. Didn't hear anything Wednesday night. Didn't hear anything Thursday. Friday, I get up, I'm like, he's going to call me and say they don't want us. And so we already scheduled a weekend getaway. And so we're dropping the kids off at their adopted grandparents' house. And my wife goes, and it's a great opportunity. It's amazing how God sets things up. And so we dropped them off, and we're driving up, and he's going, oh, I don't know word for word, but our conversation went along like this. What if they don't accept it when we know we're supposed to be there? I go, that's their issue, not ours. And so we talked and had a decent time away, picked up the kids Sunday afternoon. Then all of a sudden, Pastor Tyler Grant called. Hey, they made a mistake. I'm like, well, I knew that. And he goes, would you be willing to come back for another interview? I'm like, well, can I give you a call back later? Because I don't know. Because I'm like, well, if they really don't want me, I don't want to go. And then we talked about it for a few minutes. I already knew the answer. But, you know, when your emotions get involved, sometimes you just want to slam the phone. And you can't slam cell phones because then you break the screen. You know, the only thing I miss about the old phones, you can't go boom. We had one on the wall. And so we couldn't slam it too well. And so with that, we called them back and said, yeah. And then that Wednesday night, there was a major snowstorm come through. Like, how do you remember these things? I don't know. And so the following Wednesday, we came back. Talked. And about 10 minutes later, he goes, hey, they want to invite you guys to come and preach in a couple weeks. So we came and had our vote. And most of you accepted us on that vote. But we're still here. We started on Mother's Day 10 years ago. Imagine that, 10 years ago on Mother's Day. And it's been a great ride. We're not leaving. There's been times I wanted to be honest with you. I wanted to step away. But then I had a good night's sleep and the Lord goes, all right, son, let's go do it. Never make a decision when you're overly tired. Because you'll make the wrong decision most of the time. And so with that, that's all in my different journal in that journal. But there was also something else in that journal. It says, praying for Denise. That's unusual for me to pray for my wife or my kids. It's normal. And all of a sudden, it goes, praying for Denise. There's an octopus on her. Or tentacles. What? This is after we know we were supposed to be here. So we haven't been invited yet, but we knew we were supposed to be here. So people say, how do you know that you're supposed to be here? Because God told me back in July I was supposed to be here, way before anybody knew who I was. And that's the reason why I can say, no matter what comes against me, I can't go until God tells me to go, because even though you might say, well, we voted him in. No, God told me to come. I just had to come no matter what. For good, bad, and ugly, we're still here. And we've seen all of it. I mean, remember the old building? There's times when that building was quite full. There's been times when God moved greatly with us. There's been times when God, it'll bubble up, and every time, and you, and many of those who have been here way longer than I have seen God move greatly. Now something sucks the life out of it, and it completely tries to die off. All right? So that's been a pattern, not just on this city, on this church, but in this city. Every time God starts to move, something comes up. Every time God starts to move in Dodge County, something comes up. So I was like, okay, what does this mean? And there was other things there, but it says that an octopus tentacles was on her. I'm like, that is weird, Lord. And the same places where the tentacles would have said it was on her, she's had pain. See, sometimes you don't know where the pain comes from. It's a spiritual attack. Sometimes when there is no identifying thing to cause it, like, why is your arm hurt? Well, I broke it by falling out of the tree. There's a reason why your arm's hurting, because it's broken. That's physical identification. But sometimes you might just have a pain somewhere, and you went to doctors after doctors after doctors, and they're trying to throw all these remedies at it. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual thing. So then I'm like, okay, what does this mean? So the thing about it, leading up to it, that Wednesday night before, every Wednesday night, almost every Wednesday night, I pray for people, everybody who's here. And that Wednesday night before that, I was praying for Denise that she'd be like Nahum getting dunked in water. All right? Like, well, this is all about the, no, it's greater than that. So I eventually took a picture and sent it to her. But we talked about that Wednesday night, because I'm like, I feel, and then I shared it with her. Maybe it was that same Wednesday night, I don't remember. But the thing about it, I shared it, and she's like, whoa, okay. But I knew then we prayed for her. I anointed her with oil and stuff like that. And so, guess what? You can break off your own, whatever's going on. You have the authority to do it. You don't need the pastor, because I have the same authority as you do. I just have a different role in the church as you do. But you have the same authority, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have the same authority. Jesus died for you to give you the same authority that he has, that he's given me. So guess what? The demons get to flee, not in your name, not in my name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what they flee from. That's what they're afraid of. Guess what? They're not scared of you, because they'll beat you up and send you out naked like the seven sons of Sceva. All right? And so, Thursdays, I usually meet with Johan. Sometimes, most of the time, there's another guy there, but this week, there was no one. The other guy wasn't there. And so we're talking, and we realize that he wasn't going to be there. I go, hey, I got an issue. Or I'm dealing with this thing that came up just recently. And so I shared a quick synopsis of what was going on. And all of a sudden, we start praying. And he goes, long story short, for lack of better terms, we both sense there's a spiritual presence over Dodge County to keep the Holy Spirit from truly pouring out his spirit and moving great. Okay? But with that, we have to identify what type of spirit it is. If that makes sense. It's a spirit. And guess what? It's our job as believers. I mean, wherever you're called to, you have authority in that place. See, if all of a sudden I walk into Faith Lutheran Church, I have no authority there. What I say has no rights to it. It'd be like if Aurora's manager from Quick Trip would go to Casey's and start telling them, the workers there at Casey's, what to do. They're looking at him like, get out of my store. You're not working here. But at Quick Trip, the manager comes in. He can come in at any time of the day because he's the manager and tell all these people who are working what to do and how to do it. And guess what? We as believers, when we're called, that's the reason why it's really important only to go where God has called you to go, because then you walk in the authority to go in that place. If you're not called there, don't try to do something you're not supposed to do. All right? So we know we're called here. So we have authority. And everywhere I go, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I walk in power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. See, we sing the song. I speak the name of Jesus. Without speaking the name of Jesus, you will be defeated. One reason why Jesus went to the cross, yes, to save us from our sins. Two, to reconcile us with the Father. But three, to give us authority over the wickedness that's in the earth. And those who are not walking with Jesus are under its authority. I'm not under authority of Satan any longer. Because I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been delivered because I'm a child of God. I am no longer under his authority. I'm now under the authority of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what they say, I get to do. And when we realize that as believers, that no matter what weapon has been formed against us, it shall not prosper. And we're running around like, oh no, the sky is falling, Satan's beating me up. Guess what? Bop him in the eye. Kick him in where it hurts. Stomp on his toes. Kick him in the shin. Kick him in the knee. Take out your baseball bat. Take out the sword of the Spirit and use it against him. Because the Word of God already called him defeated. You don't have to get slapped around like a ping pong ball and say, well, guess what? I'm walking as a Christian. But man, I'm walking as a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. I got the power, I got the authority, and all everything else. It's not bound by my name, it's bound to the name of Jesus, the name above all names. When Jesus was raised up from the earth, he's saying, I've conquered this place. And guess what? We don't have to wait for him to come back to walk in his authority. Because you're already seated up at the right hand of the Father. You're already there. You've got the authority. So with that, Johan and I were praying, and we're like, okay. And all of a sudden, he's like, something at Manorville. Why do we say Manorville? Does anybody outside my family, does anybody know what takes place in Manorville? Does anybody know what Manorville is? Lois might know.
Yeah, they certain places are known for their ghosts.
Yes, but not just that. It's the county seat. Mm-hmm. It means where the county courtroom is at. So they make decisions that affects the whole county. The sheriff's office is located there. They... What's that?
Courthouse.
Yes, courthouse. They have some of the oldest buildings in Dodge County. One, the Hubble House.
Yeah.
Two, the courthouse. The dam is as almost as old, it's a year younger than the restaurant. Can't remember, I just said its name. The Hubble House. It's 1 year younger. Where Johan meets on Sunday mornings, that's 2 years younger than the Hubble House. And they're all made out of stone. And that area is known for its stone. And all that's built with this old stone quarry. And that courthouse is the oldest operating courthouse in the state of Minnesota. All right. Did you know this church building that we meet in, anybody know what year they came?
This church?
Yeah.
Well, it came from Ashland Township.
Yes.
Late 1800s.
Yep. They started forming out in that area in 1855-ish.
Wow.
They moved their building. I believe part of this right here. Part of this building right here was built by 1860 and was moved here by 1860. So we worship in one of the oldest buildings in Dodge County. So what does that have to do with us and Moses? We'll get to it here in a moment. And it has to do with an octopus. Anybody know how to kill an octopus besides my family? Does anybody know how?
Spear.
Well, I said besides my family.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Guess what? If you cut off the tentacles, the arms, guess what? They grow back. You have to go for the heart and head area, the little ball thing. And there's no humane way to kill it. And the thing about it, it's so slippery. It has a little beak, the hardest part on it, and they call it the beak, the mouth. And if it can get through that crevice, its whole body can get through the crevice. They live in salt water, so what does that have to do with that? Well, there's one variety they believe might be able to live in fresh water, but it's right next to salt water, so they don't know if it goes back and forth. But it loves, like crabs and stuff, crawdads. And they love rocky area. It's a really rocky area. So with that, we came to the conclusion that there's a spiritual thing that stems from that city. From Manorville. Where there's a lot, like you would say, there's a lot of places that would say there's a lot of areas and that city would be haunted. I wouldn't use ghosts because I don't believe in ghosts. Maybe it has a demon in it because demon needs places to dwell. Because the Holy Spirit needs a place to dwell. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell today? Friend. Where did it dwell before it dwelled in us? The tabernacle. Or the temple. That's where it dwells. And it would come upon people for a moment in time, but now it dwells in us. Every spirit needs a place to dwell. And so with that, we're praying and we're just throwing things out, and all of a sudden he goes, strike the water, speak to the rock. Okay. So what does that mean to us? I'm glad you asked. It took me back to Moses. Now we're going to include Moses to this. Moses was born at a young age. You like that one, Jerry?
Yeah, loved it. Jerry?
And so Moses was born, and guess what? Where did his mom and dad put him? In a basket, right? Then what did they do after they put him in a nice little basket? They put him in a river. What river, Jerry? And then so he started flowing down the Nile. Who found Moses? Yes. And what did she do? Drown him or pick him up and
took him home
and loved him as his own, right?
Yeah.
Until he turned 40.
But his mother.
Yes, nursed him and all that.
Yeah.
Yep. That was correct, Mary.
Yep.
But the thing about it is that after 40 years of being pampered, getting all the food he wanted, being taken care of, he seen this Egyptian and Israelite fighting. And everybody knew he was not Pharaoh's daughter's son. Everybody knew he was an Egyptian. Not Egyptian, but Israelite. He saw these two fight, and he stood up for the Israelite, and he took care of the Egyptian and buried him in his head. With that note, we need to be careful that we don't proceed too early in what God's called us to do. Moses was called the Redeemer, but he wanted to redeem it in his own strength, his own timing, and his own power. Right? See, we've been here 10 years, and now we're finally getting to the root of why God called us here after 10 years. Wow, Pastor, you're a little slow. No, it wasn't timing. So then next day, Moses comes out, and now we got two Israelites fighting because it was Mother's Day, and they were at their mom's house. Just joking. I had to throw a Mother's Day part in there for this message since it's Mother's Day. But yet he's doing it. And one of them goes, are you going to kill one of us as well? He's like, oh, stink. I'm out of here, dude. And he fled. And now, he's up in the mountain. He sees this beautiful girl. He goes, hey, you be my wife, I'll be your husband, and let's go live happily ever after. And so... So he finds Jethro has this girl, and he marries Jethro's daughter, and as you know, they have two kids, and he's hanging out with the sheep and taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He's just minding his own business. And then all of a sudden, he's on the backside of a mountain, and a bush starts talking to him. I don't know about you, if there's a bush on fire talking to me, I'm not going to go find out what's going on. Moses had more tread on that sandal than I could imagine. And so he went and they had their conversation. Eventually he goes, okay, Lord, I will do it. He sent his brother Aaron with him, and they go down to Egypt. And now they're down in Egypt. I don't know how long it took them to go from, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go, to the, hey, we're leaving. But it was some time there, and he would go every so often. He goes, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. And every time a plague would come from God against Pharaoh, God was showing Pharaoh that he's greater than his gods. God was greater than Pharaoh's gods. And the thing that Moses did with his staff, one time he threw it down as a snake, and he ate the other people's snakes, other staff. Another time, there was a plague of frogs and plagues of gnats. You think those little black things are nasty in the fall? Can you imagine that in the Egyptians' days and all these? Yeah. And then they had the sun over Goshen and darkness over Egypt. Guess what? They are the gods that they worship. And guess what? The same river that Moses was pulled out of, he grabbed his staff. He grabbed the staff and struck the ground and struck the river Nile. Guess what happened? It turned blood red. And they could not get life out of that. Eventually, fast forward all through all these 10. Remember, that was the step. And all of a sudden, the last plague will say, hey, if you don't let my people go, you're going to lose your firstborn. And God goes, hey, put blood around the doorpost, kill a lamb, all that. We now celebrate that as Passover, and then we take communion to remember that. And so here he is. He's saying, okay, all the Israelites, if you follow these rules, you will not lose your firstborn. Because firstborn meant everything in the nation of Israel. They would get not just half of the inheritance, but another half of that. So they got a lot of the inheritance. And so the Israelites that did, and not just that, God goes, you're going to overtake Egypt and take all the gold with them. And so now you're thinking about, they went down as a couple hundred people. You had the 12, the 11 brothers, because the 12th one's already there, Joseph. And Joseph was there, and then all the brothers came. Probably about 100 or so. They said how many, I don't remember. But now, there many accounts say at least 1 million people were leaving Egypt. It's hard enough to get 4 people going on a vacation in my house. I couldn't imagine 1 million people, not just a vacation, but moving to a land you've never been to. Promises that you've heard over a course of time. We're going to a land of milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey. We're going. And so they pack up their suitcases. They pack up their camels, their donkeys, or whatever they had. You can imagine the young kids, all these animals that need to feed. All of a sudden, 1 million. Could you imagine 1 million people all of a sudden getting up to leave? And so they left. And now, here they are, the Red Sea. If you throw a rock into the Red Sea, what happens? It becomes wet. It doesn't become red. All right, it's just the name of the sea. It's a little joke. Thank you for laughing. Yes. Yeah, I won't go that way right now. I'm way down the bunny trail. And so here they are, one side is this river, the sea. And guess what they're hearing? They're hearing the sounds of death. The Egyptians are going to come and take them back and kill them. You can't leave. No. He's furious. The Egyptians are riding hard. You think about it. They don't have 1 million people. They probably maybe have 1,000, 2,000 people. But man, they got swords. They're coming. And on one side is water. There's no way we can get through this water. On the other side, here comes the sounds of the hoofs. And Moses is there. What do we do now, God? He goes, raise your arms and your staff, and the water will part, and you'll cross on dry ground. Remember, dry ground. And so he lifts his staff, raises his arm. You know, like the Ten Commandment movie? Ben Hur's there. They cross over on the dry ground. 1 million people. I don't know how far it was from point A to point B, but here's the hoofs they hear. Here they are, chugging through, getting 1 million people through this. And not just 1 million people, you're talking about all the livestock too, everything they own. They're pushing it through. Come on, let's go. Come on, man, we got this. And as the last person crossing over, I can imagine they're walking, the last person. He's walking on dry ground. Next step, dry ground. But the step behind him is now mud. Because it says the Pharaoh's chariots got caught in the mud. Think about it. They're walking on dry ground. But right behind him is all of a sudden all mushy-wushy. And their chariots gets caught in the ground. And there's no way out. And they cross over. The water washes over them. And then, 3 days later, They arrived to a place called Mariner. No, I'm sorry. Might be a different one.
Pull up my notes on this one.
Red Sea, they moved to the shore. They traveled the desert 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Mara, this is Exodus 15, 5. Oasis called Mara. The water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Mara, which means bitter. We need to be careful when we are thirsty and dry and worn out that we don't become bitter. We need to be careful that we do not become bitter in the midst of our wandering. 3 days. Only took them 3 days. 3 days ago, they're crossing the Red Sea, and now they're complaining to God that he's not good enough. It'd be like being healed on Sunday, but by Wednesday, you're cursing God. Whew. They ended up in a place of bitterness. I believe it was their attitude that made the water bitter. I can't prove that scripturally, but I believe their attitude affected the water alone. And so God goes, hey Moses, throw a piece of what's that thing called? A stick. Not his rock, not his staff, but his stick. Throw that in the water. The water turned instantly into drinking. Sweet. Yummy, yummy in their tongue. They're able to drink. Then God led them to an oasis where there's palm trees and wine. Several months later, they're traveling through the desert again. Now this time, they're in the wilderness of Sin, or Sinai, and moved from place to place, eventually camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. This is Exodus 17. So once more, the people complained against Moses, give us water to drink. They're complaining about the same thing God already provided for them, even though there was nothing there. Moses, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. You are complaining against me, and why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. It would be better if we stayed in Egypt. You are just trying to kill us. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what shall I do with these people? And the Lord says, walk in front of them, take your staff, the one you used to struck the water in the Nile, and call some of the elders. He didn't say all the people. Some of the elders, and strike and stand before the rock and strike it. And the water comes gushing out. And the people would be able to drink it. And the water flowed. And flowed. And flowed. Eventually stopped flowing. Some people, some scholars, we can't prove this biblically, believe that it was a rock that they carried around with them. I wouldn't go that far, but some scholars, some Hebrew scholars, would say that. Then some people said, well, they always came back to that rock to get water. So all we know is what the Bible tells us. The Bible told us that he struck the rock and water flowed out. Now, fast forward about 40 years. In the same area. There again. Now his sister has died. The water stopped flowing. And now they're back in the same area. And now they're still complaining that there's no water. This time, they're complaining. And God, Moses goes, God, now what do I do? I'm paraphrasing. You can find the story in Numbers 20. The people blame, verse 3, those people blame Moses and said, if only we had died in the Lord's presence. Only if we've never gone this far. Oh, what was me? We should have just died. Oh, we should have had stayed back in Egypt. At least we'd have our fruits and veggies. Oh, what was me?
Verse 6, Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of God appeared to them. Verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community this time. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out water. You will provide enough water from this, from the rock, to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. He's in the tabernacle. His staff is in the tabernacle. Moses grabs his staff out of the tabernacle. Think about it. He was never told to grab the staff out of the tabernacle. Only do the things God tells you. Because he wasn't supposed to. Because it reminded him what took place before. The way God moved 10 years ago, 40 years ago, might not be the same way he's moving today. He'll tell you to do something different, and you better obey. Because if you want everything God has for you, you get to do the way God tells us to. And fast forward. Okay, a little bunny trap. Back in July, there was a gentleman that came to a church up in the Twin Cities. My son and I didn't know they were going to have a guest speaker that was the first week in July, I believe. My son and I went up there and I go, hey, let's get away. Just you and I go to take in the service. I didn't know it was going to be a guest speaker or anything. I believe the gentleman's name is Todd Smith. And so he was there. And I didn't know he was a gentleman who had a revival going down in Atlanta, Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta, Georgia. It's been going on for years and years, where people go and get dunked in a dunk tank, baptism tank, and they come out healed, set free, and delivered. I didn't know any of this. And so my son and I, he goes, Dad, and he tells me later, he goes, when I walked in, I saw the baptismal tank, I call them dunk tanks as well, either way, and I saw that, and he goes, if they're having baptism, I'm going to get baptized. He didn't tell me this until later. And there's probably hundreds, but at least a good 100 people there. And so baptism takes a while. Because it's not baptism unto salvation. It's not about salvation baptism. It was about a healing baptism. It was about being set free baptism. And so he's standing in line. And I'm talking to him, he looked at me, and so he went and did change. We weren't expecting to get wet that night. He looked at me and goes, Dad, you're not getting baptized. Okay, son. So it was finally our turn to get baptized. I believe something happened in me. I don't know what it was. Nothing physically. But I think it changed my perspective of how God wants to heal people, and that God can heal any way he desires. Because if he healed by water, and you think about it, even in the New Testament, Jesus was in a pool of Bethesda, and people were getting healed when the water was coming. I never understood what's up with that. But now I understand, throughout the scriptures, there's always been healing through water. Well, Jesus died on the cross for it. Yes, he did. But he'll use any means he desires to heal you. And so my son gets baptized. And at one time, the doctor says, oh yeah, you have sports asthma. You don't have asthma, but when you work out and stuff, asthma will kick in. That's what they said. We never claimed that. You don't have to claim what the doctors say, by the way. And as you know, he's breathing normally when he's running. Healed. That kid's been healed more often than I could count. He was healed of a broken finger. Just the middle of the morning after a Wednesday night service, Thursday morning, woke up, his hands on fire. Healed his finger. Went back to the doctor, and the doctor looked at him like he was crazy. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. And so, Moses went. He grabbed the staff back on track. And rather than speaking to the rock like he was supposed to, he hit it with the staff. Not just once, but twice. And water flowed.
Why do I don't understand why God let the water flow. I don't get that. I'm not God. I don't understand that. So if you ask me, why, Pastor, why did God allow the water to flow? I don't know. There'll be theologians who are a whole lot smarter than I am. They don't know. Because only God knows. But the water flowed. But he disobeyed God. He was supposed to be... this is my theory why he used the rod. Because he was going back in the old days. Well, God moved this way. Well, I must misheard him. And he wants me to do it this way. And there's the whole generation... From the time he hit the rock with the stick till this time, it's been about 40 years. That, remember what God says, nobody from this generation will enter into the promised land because they look in the promised land. When they look in the promised land, they go, we look like grasshoppers. Know why they said that? Because there was truly giants in the land. They believe the offspring, well, who's after the flood? The giants, guess what? If the angels made it, the fallen angels made it before the flood, they can do it after the flood, okay? Because a lot of times we're like, wow, how did the giants come back? Well, Goliath was a giant. And people say, he's only 9 feet. No, he was a lot taller than 9 feet tall. He was probably 13 to 15 feet tall because cubits were tall. He had probably had 6 fingers on his hand. There was a king of Og. His bed, I believe they say, at least 16 feet long, I believe. I don't need a bed 16 feet long. I don't want to. I'm not that tall of a guy. And so, the thing about it, when they went into the promise, they looked and says, we're already defeated. Because the reason what God, why God wanted them there, because he's going to bless them with that land, but he wanted the giants chased out. But they were afraid. Do not be afraid of what God's called you to do. And so Moses was supposed to speak to that rock. But he chose not to. There was a whole generation. They did. They probably heard stories about, man, you should have been alive, sonny. Grandpa Moses would have done something with that. I mean, we've seen him hit the Nile and turn blood. He raised it and parted. He threw a stick and the water turned. But man, one time he hit the stick with the rock with the stick, and the water flowed. Man, you should have been there. It was great. Oh, okay, Grandpa. And now all of a sudden Moses calls him on and says, hey guys, we're going to get water. It's like calling a miracle service. Hey guys, we're going to have a miracle service. You know how scary that is? Expecting miracles? If God doesn't show up, nothing's going to happen because you don't want my miracles. And so Moses called everybody in. Hey guys! And he has his staff. He's like, I know what I'm going to do. And they're all excited. Oh, he's got the lucky staff. I can imagine. See, they have a cross up here, which is great. But I don't worship the cross. I worship the one that got off the cross, got into the grave, who robbed the death and hell, and now reigns at the right hand of the Father. I don't worship a cross. Cross means, because a lot of people say, oh yeah, I've got a cross around. What does that mean? It's just material. If we worship, see, that happened in the Old Testament, where they put a snake around the staff and they started from being healed by looking at it. You think about it, how weird is this? You get bit by a snake, you look at a snake, and now you're healed. Yeah. But think about it now. Moses, then eventually they started worshiping the snake on the staff. Did you know they argued for Moses' bones? Found in the New Testament, the Satan wanted Moses' bones, and Gabriel says, "I rebuke you. The Lord rebukes you." Think about that, because they're thinking, "Look how powerful Moses." No, there's no power in that staff. There's no power in there, but it's done great things. God used it greatly.
And so Moses is relying on what used to work. And now I'm going to go hit this stone. I don't care what God told me to do. And God's saying, speak to it. He goes, I'm going to nail it. I'm going to beat it with this rod.
But instead, you're supposed to speak. Because he didn't speak to it, he missed out on going to the promise. He saw it from afar. Do not miss out on what God wants to do.
If God wants to move differently in different ways, we need to let him. So what does this have to do with us?
I'm glad you asked. You guys have been asking great questions today. We're going to have an opportunity. We're going to speak to the Lord. Oh, by the way, I believe there's reasons why there's a heaviness over this coming. It's not dark and oppressive like other places, like when I went up in the Twin Cities. Oofta, that's a totally different animal. I'll stay away from that animal, because I'm not called there. I'm called here. That I believe, with some of the research I've done, there's been a lot of innocent blood that's been shed over this area of Dodge County. And part of it, I believe one reason why we've never seen a great move of God is because we've taken some of our spiritual leaders that was part of the seminary in Wasiolja during the Civil War time. And we took them out of a spiritual battle and put them in a physical battle. I'm not saying what they did was wrong or right or whatever, but they were being trained how to be pastors and ministers. And that place in Wasiolja, by the little research I've done, was actually a productive, healthy society with that little seminary, because they had about 300 to 500 students going to that seminary. Think about it. And all of a sudden, having them leave is going to fill the void spiritually. And they went, they got distracted with the natural to go from the supernatural. Yeah, I understand they're Baptists and they were sensationists. I believe, I get all that. But what I'm telling you right now, but they still had a spiritual hole. And when half of them left, they went and fought a physical battle rather than a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, y'all. We're fighting the spiritual battle. And we lost innocent blood. You know, some of the stories I heard about Manorville in the last couple of weeks? Oh my, that's a crazy town. You know, with the brewery? I didn't know it had a brewery! And then that one church that used to be there, now the old society, has a lady body in the middle of the... That's just creepy to me. I'm sorry, Lord, that's just creepy. The pastor's wife is buried in the church.
Under the church.
Under the church, okay.
And what church is that?
It's a historical society building.
Okay.
Now.
Well, that's weird.
I'm telling you. Nothing. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. I mean, me, that's just too creepy.
That's a lot up on the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, she asked to be buried under the church. As part of, they were the beginning of the church.
Yeah. Still weird.
And she, yeah.
Weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right here. She didn't want to leave the church. She heard his sermons every Sunday.
But we're going to have an opportunity to speak to the rock and touch the water. In Manorville. We're getting together with Johan. We're trying to figure out a date and time. It's probably going to happen next weekend sometime, either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And the thing about it, the church that he pastors there in Manorville is called Stone Bridge Church. Stone. Think about it. And we're called Living Water Church. And we meet at a building called Anchor of Hope Church. I don't think it's by accident God's allowing all these things come together. And later in the summer, when it's a little bit warmer, we're going to do on a Wednesday night, if I want to talk to Pastor Frank, if we can steal some of the water, fill up a pool, and those who want to be not rededicated or salvation, but a healing by the Holy Spirit time, we're going to do that. But before that, we're going to do it in Manorville. And we're going to take out this octopus spirit and say, be gone, because it doesn't just affect us as our church. It affects all the communities around Manorville. And this tentacle thing, got to go. Well, I'm not standing for it any longer. We've been here for 10 years. I've taken my lumps, and now I'm ready to get some lumps back. I don't mind standing up for a fight. I don't go looking for a fight. This came to me. I didn't go looking for it. Lord, give me a fight. No, I have had enough fights in my days. You know, it reminds me, I'm not a little chihuahua. I'm not looking around to bite somebody's ankle. I want to be a German shepherd and take off somebody's head. And so we're going to do this. We're going to speak to the rock. We're going to hit the water and come prepared to be touched by the Holy Spirit. I don't know that. Once Johan and I figure out time and date, because he's going to be going on extended vacation, and then we're going to be gone for a week, and we want to get this thing broken off, because we're believing that by the end of July, we're going to have a total different church. Amen. Your bodies will be totally different. Your eyesight, your hearing, everything. Why not?
Why not?
And so, I know it's not your typical Mother's Day message. I don't bring typical messages, but this has been burning. There's a lot more than what I shared, but there's been Nahum with water. There's been Noah with water. There have been Moses, all these people with water. But Jesus was also baptized in water, not because he needed him. There we go. That even Jesus got baptized in water. Not because of repentance, not because he needed healing, because he's showing how he's going to move. And God's about to move y'all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Awesome.